Well, welcome to another Sunday evening with Zion's Trumpet. Yours truly. How's everybody doing out there in Pow Talk land? Oh, that's Yellow 54 is now Sharon New Creation. Well, hallelujah. Good name. Anybody have anything that's on their heart like to share? What's everybody think of the situation in Israel? Everybody following the situation over there in Gaza? What do y'all think is going to happen about that? How's that going to turn out? Not good, very grave, yeah. You don't think it's going to turn out very good for Israel, huh? Well, we'll see what happens. I might have a little bit to talk about next week on that. Let's see. You want to do a couple songs first? Full-blown war soon. That's a good possibility. Yeah, I think so. Come out of her stand. Would you take the right steps of a righteous man? Yeah, I can maybe do that later on. Okay, I'll do it later. I have to stick around. I'll do it at the end. I had some songs here ready for this week, and I got them printed up here. Hang on a second. Okay, here we go. Let's see. First one's called The Name of the Lord. You guys might know this. I don't know where this came from. The name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a pillar I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a pillar I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name is a pillar I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a pillar I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. Yeah, we'll do this and it's called One Day Closer to the Kingdom. You see, all see them words, right? One day closer to the kingdom? Okay. All right, here we go. One day closer to the kingdom. That makes every day a little better than the day before. I can take another step, knowing that tomorrow I'll be one day closer to the shore. Sometimes I think I just can't take another step. The storms of life keep raging o'er and o'er. But something down in my heart makes me want to keep on walking. I'll be one step closer to the shore. One day closer to the kingdom. That makes every day a little better than the day before. I can take another step, knowing that tomorrow I'll be one day closer to the shore. Sometimes I think I just can't take another step. The storms of life keep raging o'er and o'er. something down in my heart makes me wanna keep on walking. I'll be one step closer to the shore. Oh, one day closer to the kingdom. That makes every day a little better than the day before. I can take another step, knowing that tomorrow I'll be one day closer to the shore. Oh, one day closer to the kingdom. That makes every day a little better than the day before. I can take another step, knowing that tomorrow I'll be one day closer to the shore. Sometimes I think I just can't tell, keep raging o'er and o'er. Something down in my heart makes me want to keep on walking. I'll be one step closer to the shore. One day closer to the kingdom. That makes every day and the day before. I can take another step, knowing that tomorrow I'll be one day closer to the shore. Sometimes I think I just can't take another step. The storms of life keep raging o'er and o'er. Something down in my heart makes you want to keep on walking. I'll be one step closer to the shore. Oh, one day closer to the kingdom. That makes every day a little better than the day before. I can take another step, knowing that tomorrow I'll be one day closer to the shore. Okay, sing everybody. One day closer to the kingdom. That makes every day a little better than the day before. I can take another step, knowing that tomorrow I'll be one day closer to the shore. Let's see, anybody have anything before we start? Not yet? Well, okay, I'll start out then. Let me get my Bible program open yet. I was going to get a scripture here quick. Let's see, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Okay, Paul says, therefore, seeing we had this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I'll talk about mishandling the word of God a little bit tonight. Last week, I intended to share some more this week about the season of judgment that we've entered, but earlier on in the week, a couple of items caught my attention. And they sort of brought me back to the subject of deception. The first item was a video. The other one was an article. You know, the Apostle Paul said he didn't handle the word of God deceitfully. And I think when we read this verse, and when we think about those who do handle the scripture deceitfully, many times we tend to think of something like TV evangelists or something like that. People like them who are just out to get money and build their own kingdoms and who know very well they're mishandling the word of God. But there's also ministries out there who do not realize they're mishandling the Word of God. And these kind of ministers fall into different categories. Some of them mishandle the Scripture unknowingly because of what they've been taught in Bible schools or Bible colleges or whatever, seminaries. You know, they go to these schools and they really trust the people who teach them the things are being taught. And they leave those schools and they get a church and they just repeat what they've been taught. And they're ignorant. They're doing it ignorantly. Others mishandle the Scripture unknowingly, because they study it more with a natural mind than under the illumination and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the natural mind can understand many of the things the Scripture teaches. Who have real talent for studying and understanding things, and they can explain things they learn very well, and that includes things they learn from the Scripture. But of course, sooner or later, the natural mind's going to stumble, it's going to be baffled
when it reads through the scripture, because there's many things in the scripture, many ideas, concepts, statements that seem contradictory, you know, and the natural mind is going to stumble there. A third kind of person who unknowingly mishandles the word of God is the one who's come under the influence of religious seducing spirits. See, when a seducing spirit is perverting God's word in a person's mind, you're dealing with much more than just a human mind of that individual. You're also dealing with a supernatural mind, a mind that is more brilliant, a mind that is more crafty, a mind that is much more persuasive and much more powerful than the mere human mind is working through. And when you come up against error that has been forged by the human mind only, that's one thing. When you come up against an error that's been forged in a supernatural mind of a seducing spirit, that's a whole different ballgame. In that case, we really need to have the mind of the spirit, discernment of the spirit, to discern what's going on, because that thing can be extremely dangerous. Those spirits are very good at tricking people with the word of God. Very good. That's what they do. Now, the degree of deception these seducing spirits get people into depends on what kind of person they are and what kind of deception those spirits are leading them into. The two items I looked at this week that caught my attention, there are examples of different kinds and different levels of deception. The first one is pretty blatant because the deception in the first one is in the realm of experience. It's a false experience, and you can detect that pretty easy, usually. The second one is much more subtle and dangerous because it's in the realm of revelation or spiritual insight. Now, the first item that caught my attention was a video of one of these false prophets and healers named John Crowder. There's an interesting little website out there called, I don't know if you're all familiar with it, it's called A Little Leaven. And it keeps a track of all the absurd and blasphemous things that are popular right now in the apostasy world. I don't know where they get all their information, but they gather stuff from all over the place. If you want to see the latest religious relics, like toys or trinkets that are for sale, or if you want to know about the latest apostate church or message or pastor that's taking place, you know, I mean, that's the place to go. They just got incredible how they get this stuff. But I check it out a few times a week. Anyway, this week they had a link to a meeting with this Mr. Crowder was a speaker. Yeah, Jesus Junk for Sale, right. Now, I've seen articles about Mr. Crowder before on various discernment ministry websites, but I really don't know that much about the guy. You know, I've never studied him. I never looked at him. Now, he's just another deceived revivalist. And as such, I wouldn't normally pay too much attention to him. But when the first video clip was over, I think they had broken that thing down into like 10 or 12 shorter YouTube clips. When that first one was over, I felt impressed to keep on watching some more, which is unusual for me. And I forgot how good these people can be at not just misquoting passages of Scripture, but also misapplying true scriptural principles or even speaking truthfully about things that God's doing right now. And it's pretty sobering. But since this guy is obviously manifesting another spirit, I mean, all you got to do is look at him, and you know he's not the right spirit, his mishandling of the Scripture wouldn't be too dangerous for any of us. Anybody has a real spiritual discernment. What I found interesting is a story he tells. It starts at the end of video clip 3 and goes on to video clip 4 about a confrontation he and some of his friends had with some Satanists. I don't know if any of you have seen this before. Has anybody seen that video and heard that story? Okay. He tells a story. After a meeting they had somewhere where they had very powerful manifestations, he had diamonds on the floor and rain falling in the building, all kinds of stuff. He and some of his friends from the church would go for a walk in the park, you know, late at night. And in this park, there's a group of young people who are having a Satan worship service. So I'm going to play just a little clip for you guys to hear this. I think it's very interesting. I want you to hear what this guy's story is, because if what he's saying actually happened, and you don't know because these people are such liars, you can never tell if they're telling the truth or not. But if what he said actually happened by chance, there's an interesting something to be learned about it, okay? So I'm going to play just a clip of this story right before this story and in the story. It's about 8.5 minutes. If you can stand it. If you can't, you know, go take a bathroom break or go get a sandwich or something and come back for the punchline. I don't know. Just by way of introduction before I play it, so you understand some of this guy's remarks you're going to hear. This guy, Mr. Crowder, is continually stoned, spiritually speaking. I mean, he just walks around stoned. He walks around kind of side when the ecstasy of God, that's his thing. He's busy transferring this drunken stupor that he calls the ecstasy of God to hundreds of thousands of people across this nation, across the world. And during his message, you know, he staggers back and forth like he's totally plastered, and his eyes are hardly even open the whole time. Can't even see his eyes. He tokes for Jesus, that's right. as part of this whole spiritual lifestyle of his, he thinks it's come from God, this ecstasy he seeks to live in all the time. He imitates the world of drugs and booze. He often stops and to take an imaginary drink or an imaginary hit off a joint. And in fact, during the story you're about to hear, he lights up, this is incredible, disgustingly incredible, but he lights up an imaginary joint, okay, and takes a deep hit of it. Then he passes it to the guy on the floor in front of him. He tells this guy on the floor that he takes an imaginary hit to pass it all around the audience. And then he says, whoever breaks the chain is the one who needs deliverance, not audience. In other words, whoever doesn't play the game, they need deliverance because they won't play the game. So the guy on the floor proceeds to take a hit from this imaginary joint, and he passes it on. You know, it's all quite disgusting and hard to watch, but I thought the Lord may watch it for a reason. So if you don't want to hear this, that's okay. It's fine. Leave the room or whatever. It's an 8.5-minute clip. I'm going to put it on here, okay? I want you to hear the story. Because it's interesting. If what he's saying is true, it's very interesting.
You see, God gives us wonders because he wants us to wonder. And there are messages in the sign, just like when Jesus gave the, you know, multiplied boat and then the storm, and they got freaked out of the storm, and he says it's because they didn't understand the miracles of the loaves. There is something to understanding the message and the meaning behind signs and wonders, but there's also something of just the simple idea that we are in awe of a God who dazzles his children. We are in awe of a daddy who says, what would you like to create today? Yoing, yoing, yoing. You to step into that place of his own divine imagination, dreaming his own dreams, where you begin to speak and things start to happen. Now, I'm not talking about just like a name it, claim it thing. I mean, we can name something and claim it. Maybe you'll get it in 20 years, you know? But when there's the glory, when the glory is there, when God's presence is there, it's like the canopy of his presence hovering over the deep in Genesis 1. When the glory is there, and then the word is released, then the word is spoken, let there be, then creation comes forth, then the land emerges from the water. Something that was in the invisible realm is made visible and is seen. How would you guys get things out of the invisible realm and manifest them in the world around you? How would you like to reach into that unseen reality and begin to manifest? You see, we've got it backwards, guys. We've been trying to climb the ladder. You're already at the top of the ladder. Ephesians 2:6, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You're already up there, and now we have to go down the ladder. Now we've got to manifest. We've got to let him out. We're already in the secret place. We're already in the Holy of Holies. You see, we're not on the outside washing our hands at the laver, working our way through all the little veils. No, 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 no. We're already in the middle. We're in the creamy center. All right? You're in the holy oil. And now you got to let him out. You got a glory out there. You got to let it out into the natural world around you. In the spirit, you're already in. I'm in. Say I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. Yoing, yoing, yoing. You're in. When you get a revelation of how much power, how much juice, how much boomba is in the everyday, average, ordinary believer, when you get your thoughts, your mind circumcised of inferiority complexes, of insecurities, of fears and anxieties and all this, and you realize, hey, I'm not a little pussycat, I'm a lion. Rawr! Almighty God inside of me. I was in Florida. I was in Florida last summer, I guess, and we're walking after this crazy meeting. We had diamonds showing up all over the floor, and then we pick up the diamonds, and they disappear. It was because there were so many of them, you know. Like, come on, let them habitation of the diamond. And then it would start raining, and like physical water raining in the building, and so the rain would fall like under our pant legs, like right there. So then you would realize it's not like the preacher spit or followed from the ceiling. It's supernatural raindrops, right? So really powerful meetings. But then we're walking after one of the meetings. We're walking in a park, and we're just walking through this, you know, field, and we're just, you know, moseying along and, you know, having a good little after church walk in the park. And then all of a sudden, here are these young people out in the middle of this park area, and we realize they're openly worshiping Satan by name, right? Just Satan worship right in the middle of the public park. And then one of them recognizes somebody from the church group. And so then they start openly mocking us and mocking the church group while worshiping Satan. And now, since I'm the, you know, big bad guest speaker who talks about all the miracles, everybody just kind of looks over to me. You know what we're going to do here? And I didn't have nothing. I didn't know what to do. And then my little daughter, she's 10 years old. She looks over. She goes, Dad, did you hear that? I mean, her face, she was like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? She goes, shabba-ba-ba-ba-ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and just starts praying in tongues, right? And then my little one-year-old spirit, there's no delineation between them. You know, they haven't been untrained yet, right? So he just he knew there was going to be a showdown. He saw big angels coming in. So he just points to them, right? And he just starts walking right towards the Satanists, right? And now at this point, you know, there's a little bit of pressure to perform. I got to go rescue my toddler from him. I got to do something. I didn't have, you know, a Jack Chick track to hand out. I didn't even have a prophetic word for anybody over there. I'm like, Lord, I got nothing, you know? And I was like, Lord, I just got to get whacked. I found the secret to success. Just get whacked. Stay whacked. Don't go back. So I said, Lord, I just got to get... So I just started toking the ghost. A little Jehovah Wanna. Pass that to you there, sir, and pass that around, yeah. Now, wherever the chain gets broken, that's where we'll have the deliverance session afterwards. So make sure that gets passed to you, all right? Back the arts. Take back the media. Take back the... That's good. That's great, you know, but why do we give this stuff up to begin with, right? I say, let's just go take some of the devil stuff, right? I'm going to take drug culture, you know? We go up on the streets to people now. We don't even, you know, ask questions. We just go up and we say, hey, you want to get high? And the thing is, they go, yeah, actually. And we go, look, I'll pray for you. There's no high like the Most High. You're going to get whacked. You're going to feel the presence of God. And you're going to know He's real. Do you know how many people we've seen get saved through buzz evangelism? We just go out nowadays and we get a big, just impromptu. You know, it's so hard working up all those prophetic words for people. Let's just get sloshed and let Jesus do all the work. So we just put up a sign that says, free buzz. And we just stand there and the little fishies come jumping in our boat. Free buzz, what is that? Find out. So here we are, I'm getting whacked, and before you know it, my feet are moving underneath me. Now this, guys, this is not seeker-sensitive evangelism, all right? This is not what they teach you in seminary. This is not what you're going to learn in any Bible school in the country, all right? Nobody says when the Satanists show up, toke the ghost and start dancing, right? So you gotta just get on board, you know? I learned an important principle, go with the flow, right? And so I just start getting whacked, and before I know it, I'm doing this little boogaloo thing, and then it gets heavier, and I'm so whacked, and then I'm, before you know what I'm saying, shaka baka bamba ba da ba da ba dum ba 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 da ba dum ba ba da ba da ba dum ba. And so I come right up to this bunch of Satanists having their little say in the park, and I come up to them with shabba-da-ba-dum-ba-ba-da. All of a sudden, absolute complete silence. I come up to them and I go, I've got more power in my pinky than all the antichrist of hell. I said, because Almighty God lives in me. Absolute chaos. Bodies hitting the grass. People just scattering, screaming, freaking out. The demons just instantly manifesting. And then the team is, I'm just like, sick them. And then the team's like, on everybody, right? And then there's just like people getting saved. People just getting whacked in the spirit for the first time all over the place. And then like girls screaming, saying, come away! See what they're doing to you! Get away from them! it just busts up a Satan party. That easy, all right? You see, you have the fullness of heaven inside of you. You have the fullness of God inside of you. You don't have to fit out. You just show up empty-headed, whacked in the glory. Amen? God doesn't need our advice, okay?
Okay. I know that was hard to listen to. But, you know, sometimes you got to look at this stuff about bad it's getting. Now, I just want to ask you a question. How many of you in this room believe this guy's story? How many of you believe that really happened, what he said? And Marlo says, I have a question. Is he a pig? Yeah, it's the pig spirit. Yoing, yoing, yoing. I think so. Yeah, unclean pig. That's right. You think he made it up? Everybody thinks he made it up. I don't know whether I believe he made it up or not. I think it's possible he could be telling the truth if something like that actually happened. Because what we're dealing with here is, you know, in Revelation 13, when John says that beast that comes up out of the sea, he says the beast, the dragon, gives the Antichrist his power, his seat, and great authority. You all remember that, right? Revelation 13, 2. You're talking about the beast comes up out of the sea. I think it's very possible that what God guy's saying is true or actually happened. See, a lot of these people are having experiences that are real experiences. They're not all liars. And you got to wade through what's truth and what's lying, because they're all talking through demons. But not everything they say is a lie. But he could be very well lying. I'm just saying. But if he's telling the truth, if something like that actually happened, what you have there is a demonstration of what's going on in Revelation chapter 13. See, everybody's looking for a man, the Antichrist, or a government, the one world government. But before a man in the government is fully formed, a spirit comes out of that pit. Revelation 17, the angel talks about that same beast in Revelation 13. He says he's going to ascend out of the bottomless pit. And only spirits, spiritual creatures, can live in the bottomless pit. So the Antichrist that everybody's looking for, that they think is going to be a man or a government or both, it's first and foremost a demon, a power. And John says the dragon gives that spirit his authority, his seat, and his power. Satan has given the counterfeit Jesus that's deceiving these multitudes of people in these churches right now,